Well, we take a lot of depositions, and I think Zoom has been great for depositions. And, you know, as I probably will mention later, I don't think it's completely going away, especially on the deposition front. It has given the ability of people, you know, even in lower dollar cases, you can take depositions now that maybe you couldn't afford before. Travel costs and the entire cost really of taking a deposition goes down with Zoom. For international depositions, well, frankly, with Zoom, a lot of them have had to be by Zoom because you couldn't travel to these countries. Also, it's really interesting, I have found, and admittedly, you know, as somebody who's older, I'm really impressed with technology because I didn't know it existed until Zoom. But the things that you can do, and you can use all these apps in terms of sharing screens, you know, whether it's GoodNotes or TrialPad, and you can draw on documents for the witness, which before when I was taking depositions, I had to, you know, either get multiple screens or I had to go next to the witness and point where I'm saying, hey, you see where it says here. So a lot of things have become easier in that regard. And then when I had hearings out of town, obviously judges are now, you know, freely willing to allow me to argue by Zoom, and really anybody to argue by Zoom, right? There's not that many judges. There are a few that are holding in-person hearings, a few that are holding in-person trials. But I think it's really allowed us to do things, and I think it's opened up things for more types of cases that we weren't able to do before in general.
Judge Chesney, what do you see as some of the advantages of this virtual world?
So in terms of hearings, I do a lot of mediations here in San Antonio, so I'll talk a little bit about hearings and then a little bit about the mediation advantages. But in terms of hearings, since I took the bench, I've always allowed civil litigants to appear remotely for hearings because I think it levels the playing field and prevents, you know, certain parties being able to exert a lot of settlement pressure or other kinds of leverage over the other side just by being litigious and getting a bunch of things set and then forcing all the cost of getting to hearings. So I've always given them that option and said it's up to you to try to figure out, you know, what the advocacy downside is versus appearing. But we really only had telephone as an option before. And so I'm used to doing telephone hearings and mainly for status conferences and IPCs and those sorts of things, but even for some contested hearings. And the Zoom platform has really made it so that folks can appear at hearings and be very effective advocates. And there's a lot of upside to that over the telephone, although I still allow people to do it that way as well. I see, as was mentioned before, that it allows more people to participate. So if various attorneys have kind of played different roles in the case, they can all be on the Zoom at not a whole lot of extra cost. I think there's a lot more efficiency for the court because we can schedule a lot more things back to back. There's less kind of transition time between cases when you don't have people physically moving in and out of the space and you're just sort of virtually switching between folks. And that's all
actually affirming.
All of those things have been pretty big upsides. It's easy for observers to come on if people have interns or law clerks for the, you know, and those sorts of things at their firms. They're able to log in and be there. And again, the clients aren't paying the cost of, oh, a young lawyer and an older lawyer and all of that are coming to the hearing. So I've seen a lot of upsides from in the Zoom world.
Cecilia, have you seen any disadvantages that you hope we can kind of fix before we move on to normal again?
I think one of the disadvantages y'all have highlighted in this seminar, and you've done it because you've given us all those slides about economics and exercising and getting up and walking between sessions. Zoom fatigue is real. As someone who has, I did one case out of federal court in the Northern District involving 17 different lawyers and over 5 days on the first part of March, end of February, first part of March. had at least at different times 10 different people involved. So I was spending a lot of hours in front of a camera. And it's not just the sitting part that's the problem. Zoom fatigue exists because we're looking at ourselves as well. They say that that has a psychological effect on us. And so one of the things we need to think about going forward is how to deal with Zoom fatigue. We need to get up. We need to keep ourselves refreshed. We need to walk around. Maybe we need to move to standing desks. I was always one that enjoyed going to the podium in federal court because I could stand up. And I'm pretty good on my feet. And I think that's one of the things we have to be concerned about. And then that loss of human interaction. There is something about touch, and I'm not talking about in an illegal way. I'm talking about that, you know, when we walk into the room, many times we shake hands with each other. You know, when somebody is upset, we hand them a box of Kleenex. We are going to miss that interaction and that personal touch as a result. It is less formal.